Psalms 144 in verse 9 is where we're going to begin. Psalm 144, beginning with verse 9. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor. That there be no breaking in or going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. As we read this, I want to preach this morning about youth. And not just to the youth, but I want to preach about youth. As we read this scripture, David is talking about God's blessings and His protection upon him. And he asked for some things. Verse 11, he said, "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children." And I don't think that he was just entirely talking about, "God, I want you to protect me." But this goes along with what I want to say this morning. He said, "Whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood." That our sons, in other words, rid me, keep us from this kind of people, these kind of children, these strange children that lie, vanities in their hands. And here's the reason why. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and that our daughters may be cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Other things he asked God's blessings on, but one thing he did say was about the youth, about the children. And he didn't want to have them influenced by other children that would lie, speak vanity. Just to put it in a plain way, these things corrupt our children. He didn't want his children corrupted. In fact, what the scripture said in the New Testament is evil communications corrupt good manners. And what that means is that the communications is not just talking and not just, you know, maybe being on the phone or something with somebody, but it means association. When you associate your people, when you associate with people that have evil manners, it's going to corrupt your good manners. And he prayed for his children, I believe, is one thing he did here. That, "Lord, you help them and keep them." And I also believe not only did he pray for them, but I believe as a good parent, actively, we have to do things to protect our family and help them. They're not just going to grow up in the way that he said here all by themselves. It takes a lot of work to be a good parent and to raise our youth in the way they should be raised. First of all, he said that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Now, I'm going to use Brother Raymond as an example a little bit this morning. Brother Raymond has a lot of trees. And he took me around and showed me those trees. He showed me some. And when you look at them, the bottom of them crooked out. He said, now I didn't plant those. And I don't remember exactly what he said the reason for that was, but that in the very beginning, in the very start, they didn't really have the care and attention that they ought to have. And then you look at Brother Raymond's trees. You can certainly tell where Brother Raymond's land is and where the other isn't, because his land is about as clean as his church floor looks like. And if it's not, he's working on it. He works on them. I've never seen anybody go out and hoe around their little trees. But that's what he does. Pulls up weeds and hoes around them. And puts a lot of work in it. And you get in what you get, you get out what you get in, you put in. And so in our sons, we want our sons to be tall and straight, not just physically. What I'm preaching about this morning is spiritually. We want them to be straight and tall, not crooked. We want them to be strong, be able to weather the storms that are going to come around and have good roots. That starts in the very beginning. It starts with them things being planted right. And then being cared for correct. And that's the way it is with children. The start of them this morning is so very important. It's so very important. And then he said, not just the son, you want them to be strong, like a good strong plant. And he said that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. Well, we don't have exactly what they had in building, but a cornerstone, it joins the walls together. And it's a very integral part. It joins everything together. And they polished it like it was in a palace. They didn't have to hang things on the wall to make it look pretty. They had a cornerstone that was polished just like a, kind of like a gem, a big stone. And when you think about that, that kind of household, well, the daughters unite a family. And its cornerstones unite a wall. Just all come together there and unite the family. And like a polished stone, just beautiful and adorning that family. The son straight, healthy and strong, like a, kind of just like a nobleman. When you got the daughter like that cornerstone, and the son's like people of honor, strength. Father like a king and mother like a queen. When you got a house like that, you got a city with all those houses in it like that. You got a city that is full of palaces. You don't have a slum. You don't have a ghetto. But you got a city full of palaces. And what the Lord say about the church? Didn't the Lord say that the church was like a city that was set on a hill? And it ought to be a city that's not a ghetto or a slum. It ought to be a city filled up with palaces like I just read to you. Now, the youth are very, very important to us at this church. And young families. Now, I'm going to quote some statistics to you, and statistics are sort of variable depending on where you look. But I've looked at several places and sort of just got some that made sense. In the United States, 62% of people claim to be some type of Christian. That includes every kind of religion they are. About 25% evangelical, that is the opposite of the Catholic Church. And in this thing of statistics, it said that young people raised in church, 72% left church when they got older. Now, I'll tell you, that's a bad statistic. That's not a good statistic. And while that may not be true for Enon Church, you're going to have to admit that that does affect us too. That there's young people that when they get old enough, some of them don't come. And I'll tell you what we need. We need young people. We need children. We need young families in the church. You know what a church is that doesn't have any young people? A dying church is what that is. It's a church that's dying and doesn't have a future. I don't mean that ugly. The church needs older people too, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But if you don't have younger people, you are a dying church that doesn't have a very bright future unless God intervenes and some young people come. We need young people. You know what we need young people for? One thing that's an advantage of having young people in the church. It's an advantage to have older people because knowledge and wisdom belong to us. But you know what belongs to young people, Brother Raymond? You do. Strength. Strength. You know, when they start gathering people together for a battle, for war, they don't come get people like me. I'd be pretty useless. I went through basic training and AIT and, you know, I made it. But I couldn't do it now. I'm good till about 1 or 2 o'clock during the day. That's about my limit. The way I work on Sundays, I try my best to be up for all 4 services. I don't want to come here and give you seconds. I want you to get firsts. I go eat with somebody, and a lot of times I go rest, and I'm doing that where I can get my mind and my body ready for that night, because I want to give you the first, and I want to give Karn the first. And you may not know what it's like to preach. You might think there ain't nothing to it. I'm going to tell you this. I've preached and I've also dug ditches. And I've worked day. I used to could work day and night. And I have worked all day and all night. I have. But I know the difference. And I know which one is... there's different demands from both kinds. But I've done both, physical and preaching. And I'm going to tell you. There's some demands when you preach 4 times, and I want to give it my best every time I preach. I want to preach with all my heart. I want to preach with all my strength, and I want to deliver what God's given to me, and I want to do it in a way that would touch people's hearts. I tell you how I want to preach. I want to preach, and this is nothing for me, but I want to preach, and I want people to feel like that they've been in touch with God when they hear the word. That's nothing to me. I'm going to tell you what, we need young people in the church. We need to retain our young families because you know what belongs to young people? Strength. Strength. We need. How old was David when he killed Goliath? I don't know how old he was, but I do know this. He wasn't old enough to be in the army because he would have been if he had been. But he was a shepherd. He was old enough to watch his father's sheep by himself and protect the flock with the help of God. So I'm going to say he was, you know, some kind of teenager. I don't know. I don't think he was just a teeny tiny boy either. But he wasn't old enough to be in the army. Jonathan, another strong, great soldier, went out with his armor bearer, started a battle that won a great war. Valiant man. About the same age as David. What about the apostles? Well, now, a rabbinical disciple, in other words, a disciple of someone that was a rabbi, according to what I've been able to read, they were mostly teenagers. Now, I don't think all of the apostles were teenagers. Peter was old enough to be married. I don't know their age, but it's commonly said that John, the apostle, was the youngest, and he was probably, it wouldn't baffle me to learn that he was an older teenager. He was a young man. They were young men. Well, Jesus wasn't but 30. Man, there's churches today, I don't say here, but there's churches today, if he got up and said anything, they'd dismiss him because he was young. But we need young people. We need children. Now, I don't think that we need to go to the ways of the world and entertainment and all the... Man, it has got so mind-blowing what goes on. I listened to a man this morning on sermon audio that he went to this conference and was supposed to speak there. And he said they had an altar call. It's something that they did. And he said people went up there and they just heard another message there, and all it was just laughing and everything else. He said they went up there just laughing and carrying on. There wasn't any tears, no kind of repentance. Then he said next the band came out. They had some kind of, you know, one of these real modern bands. And the young ones jumped up and went to hollering and gyrating around, and his wife was up there. Her seat was in the front. Said this guy said that one young man, they were so worked up, he bumped into his wife and knocked her down in the chair. She got up and pushed the young man. She got up and pushed him back. But they got to just carrying girls over their head and everything else in the world. And this guy was just, he was about sick. He got up and preached, and he got up and preached, and he said that you didn't know Jesus if you hadn't repented and believed in Him with all your heart. And he said, true repentance means to turn from and turn from the world to Christ. And they went to clapping, and he said, I don't know why y'all clapping. He said, I'm preaching about you. And man, they blackballed him. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a few people around here that's getting to see that some of this wild carrying crazy, you know, crazy carrying on, it's not of the Bible. And I don't believe we need to go to that, and I don't think you ever would, but still, somewhere there has to be something that we can do that'll make a difference. Now, when I was a kid, you came to church and you sat down and you shut up, and that's all you did. I think we need a little bit more than that. I do. I believe, and I don't think just turn everything over to the child, but I'm going to say, on the other hand, we need to train them up in the way they should go. We need to teach them, and they need to have a part. And listen to this, in the 148th Psalm, we don't have a lot of direct scripture in the New Testament about exactly how to have a service and what all to do. We don't have it, two songs and a prayer, and, you know, then preaching. We don't have that. But listen to the Old Testament. And I believe when the Bible talks about praising the Lord, and in particular, praising the Lord in some type of a... And I believe service ought to be holy. I believe that it ought to be something sanctified and reserved for God. And I believe it ought to be done that way. But on the other hand, listen, I'm not going to read all this for time's sake. But listen to what the 148th Psalm said. And it's talking about praising the Lord. And it's talking about who all ought to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he said in verse 12, both young men and maidens, old men and children, we all ought to be praising the Lord. I believe young families have a place in this church. And I believe they've got a very vital place in this church. And I believe the children of this church are important and should be viewed as such. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is excellent, for His glory is above the earth and heaven. Young men, maidens, old men and old people and children. Everybody in this church is important. Yet I'm going to tell you something we need young people in this church, and we need to have them. Again, not gimmicks and everything else, but I think the Bible hadn't changed, but times have changed. And I'm going to tell you, you believe the Lord come in His culture? Well, let me tell you a little something. If you said amen, and if you didn't say amen, I'm saying it to you too. The Bible said that in Hebrews chapter 10, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Doesn't it say that? Well, then that means the closer we get to the coming of Christ, there ought to be a greater effort on our part about something. And you just tell me what that scripture means in Hebrews 10 if it don't mean that. It does mean that. I believe it includes our children. We need to make sure they have the right influence, and we believe, and we also need to make sure that they have the right surroundings. Those evil communications corrupt good manners. That's left up to you parents for the biggest part. And I'm going to tell you something. God gave children to young people for a reason. He did. Look, when me and Abby keep those two little boys, it's a two-person job. The little one, he's into everything they are. We had a birthday party for Carmen yesterday. I went in the bathroom to kind of clean up from all that smoke and everything from the grill. I cooked for people, and I came out, they were sweeping up, something broke. I said, "What happened?" Abby said, "Shell." That's all she had to say. He's a good boy, sweet kid, loving, oh, he's so precious, but he's a wrecked Ralph. I mean, he is a demolition crew. You just got to be up all the time. He's into something all the time. He's a good boy. You get me, slam out. That's why God gave them to you young people, because us older people, we ain't that strong. Man, when I was younger and had all them kids, I could lay down and sleep right in the middle of all that and not worry about a thing. Now when they're at the house, I'm worried, slammed to death. They're going to get hurt. I see hurt. I see danger in everything they are now. A stick poking up, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to go get that stick, because I'm thinking one of them might fall and ran it through his mouth or something like that. I'm telling you, I think that way. You younger people, God gave them to you for a purpose and a reason. But He gave us people like me. We're not just out of the picture. He gave us some wisdom. You know what this Bible said with the glory of a young man? Do y'all know that? The glory of a young man is his strength. The Bible said the glory of old men was children's children. Old men and women. And He said the beauty of a young man, excuse me, I'm sorry, the beauty of an old man is his white head. Some of you fellas are pretty beautiful. That's all I'm going to tell you. You're more beautiful than I am according to the Bible. You didn't know I was going to preach that today, did you? And women too. And I don't think it just means that, you know, Brother Mike's good looking because he's gray-headed. I believe it means that there's a beauty about us, that there's something that we have to contribute to church too, and that's wisdom. We ought to be able to contribute some wisdom and some knowledge and some experience. But we need young people for the strength and zeal. And you know what a church ought to do? We ought to be willing to let these young people exercise some of that zeal and some of that strength. And be understanding, as long as it's not unscriptural. That's what we as a church ought to do. I believe that's an encouragement. It is an encouragement. We need them. Because I'm not going to be here that long. How long am I going to be at Enon? I have no idea the plans of God. But I can probably give you a top limit. I probably won't live much longer than that. So, now let me talk to the youth, to you young people. You know what the Bible said about you? I won't go and make you run through a bunch of scriptures, but the book of Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 27, he said it's good for a person to bear the yoke in their youth. It's good for you to bear your yoke. Now, you might say, that sounds like bondage. No, what that is, that's just putting you in a place where you can work. You take an ox and you run him around in a circle, he hadn't done nothing. But if you take him and you put a yoke on him and you hook him up to some type of implement, then you get some work. And most of the time it's, a yoke, it involves two of them yoked together. And guess what? To bear the yoke in your youth. Guess who's in the other side of the yoke? Jesus. We don't plow alone. And so when you yoke up with Him, He said, bear that in your youth. Work for the Lord in as you are young people. Listen, don't waste your life. And what Solomon said, let me just go read that to you in Ecclesiastes 12. I'd like to read, the wisest man, God bestowed the greatest amount of wisdom on this man as He did anybody. And Solomon got to try things and go to lengths in experimental living that you'll never be able to because you're not that rich. I don't care who you are and what you got. You don't have the riches and the freedom that Solomon had to live and do like he wanted to do. He did just like he wanted to do. He was the king, and he was so rich. And he could do it all. I'd like to try this if I had enough money. Wasn't no problem to him. And him being the king, he could even have people killed if he wanted to. You don't have that power, do you? And he come to this. He said, remember, verse 1 of chapter 12, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While you're like you are, remember the Lord. Trust Him and be saved. God wants people to be saved when they're young. If you're not saved, He wants you to trust Him. I would never stand here and tell you that it's hard to be saved. It's not. But I am going to stand here and tell you that people make it hard to be saved. And it appears to me that the older you get, the harder some people make it. It's not hard. You simply trust God. You surrender all. And you lay it all on Him and you fully trust Him. But don't wait too late. One more thing I want to read. Solomon said this in chapter 11, and I want you to know that this is somewhat tongue in cheek. Do you know what that means? He's speaking this kind of in a facetious way. You know when your mama looks at you when you said something y'all are not saying, she says, say that one more time. That don't mean you need to do it. So in that same frame of mind, listen to this. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart, and do in the sight of thine eyes. Does that sound like advice from the Scripture? No, it's tongue in cheek. He's saying, if you do this, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Go ahead and live your life just the way you want to. I have another statistic I don't think I mentioned. Maybe I did. I can't remember if I did or not. Do you know the percentage of people in the United States that go to more than one service a week? 8%. That's something, isn't it? 8%. He's saying, young man, young person, if you go on and you live your life and you don't include the Lord in it, you're going to have to meet God with it one day. And you may meet Him sooner than you think. So the alternative is, this morning, repent and turn to Jesus. He will, without fail, if you trust Him, He will, without fail, save you. I will, this is His words in red, I will in no wise cast you out. You ever went to somebody and been cast out? You won't, if you come to the Lord, He said, I'll never cast you out. A person that comes to Him brokenhearted, trusting Him, wanting to be saved, He never has cast out one. You don't have to worry about that. Trust Him this morning. If you're a young family, we love you and we want you to stay. And we need you. And I tell you what, I hope everybody here makes you feel like you're needed. Because you are needed in this church. Your pastor needs you. You children, you young people, you teenagers, we need you and we love you and we want you. And we're not going to be anything in a few years if we don't have you. But I do want you to know this, there's wisdom and there's knowledge to be gained from these older people in this church. And you need to listen to them. And sometimes what you have to do with older people, sometimes you just have to hush. And you just gotta, sometimes you just gotta bear it for love's sake. You might have to do that with me. And I appreciate it if you do. But when I'm telling you the truth of God's Word, you need to listen. Trust Jesus. Let's have a virtual song. Whatever may be on your heart, we give you the opportunity to come.
Five hundred 51.